Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. With this evening's broadcast, Pastor Brian Grant begins a new series that celebrates the Protestant Reformation that began 500 years ago when a Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther publicly challenged the leaders of his church to answer charges of heresy in their doctrines and practices in matters of the gospel. The purpose of this series is not to cast stones at our many Catholic friends or at the things they have learned to hold sacred from childhood, but rather to clarify and affirm the evangelical faith of the Bible recovered during the Reformation, that simple gospel of eternal salvation that comes by faith alone in Christ alone. It is our fervent hope that this series will prove to be a source of blessing to our believing audience and that being informed, our listeners might find opportunity to share the simple gospel with their Catholic friends who are in many cases struggling mightily to earn their way into heaven by their good works. It is also our prayer that the Spirit of the Lord might use this series to open the eyes of some Catholic friends to the freedom and security offered by the simple gospel that was preached by the apostles. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message entitled, Key Pillars of the Christian Faith.
During a trial, the prosecuting attorney called his first witness to the stand. She was an old grandmotherly type lady. And after this grandmotherly type lady, this elderly lady, was sworn in, the prosecuting attorney asked her, Mrs. Jones, do you know me? She responded, yes, sir, I know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a youngster. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment. You lie. You cheat on your wife, you manipulate people, you talk about people behind their backs. Yes, I know you quite well. The lawyer was stunned. He wasn't expecting that answer. And not knowing what to do, he pointed across the room and he asked Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney? Mrs. Jones says, yes. I've also known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster. He has a big drinking problem. He has cheated on his wife with 3 different women. Yes, I know him. Chaos broke out in the courtroom. Some were gasping, others were laughing, some were hissing. The judge brought the courtroom to silence, called both lawyers to the bench, and in a very quiet voice, the judge said to them, if either of you ask her if she knows me, you're going straight to jail. It's great to have relationships. The only problem is that some people love to spill all the dirt about us. But aren't you glad that although Jesus knows all about us, he knows all your stuff, aren't you glad that he doesn't lie, he doesn't bring up all the mess about you? Amen? Amen. Once we are saved, our sins and iniquities, the Bible says what? He will remember no more. That's hallelujah ground. Amen. It's so wonderful that an infinitely holy God desires to have a relationship with us. And if you're here this morning, I want you to realize that what is God is looking for is to have an actual personal relationship with you. The early Christians enjoyed a personal relationship with the risen Christ And no wonder the Bible tells us that in the early church, they were turning the world upside down because these individuals had a personal relationship with the risen Christ. But as time went along, the church grew in power and influence, and the emphasis shifted from a personal relationship with Christ, and instead, the church tried to Christianize the world. And how the church tried to Christianize the world is by forcing people to adopt the practices and traditions of the church. Things only got worse when the church and the state were joined. Because now the church was able to use the power of the government, the power of the state, to force obedience. Anyone who challenged the teachings of the church did so at the risk of death. The simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ had disappeared. But 500 years ago, God used a man to spark revival. He was a German monk named Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King. By the way, let me throw in a freebie. Did you know Dr. Martin Luther King was named after his dad? You say, I know that. But did you know Dr. King's name at birth was Michael King? Oh, I knew you didn't know that one. Dr. Martin Luther King was actually Michael King because his father was Michael King. It was Michael King Sr. and Michael King Jr. And Michael King Sr. went to Europe and was so impressed by the life and impact of Martin Luther. So what we're talking about is relevant, very relevant today. King was so impressed with Martin Luther, he changed his name to Martin Luther King Sr. And Martin Luther King Jr. became no longer Michael King, but Martin Luther King. You can't say you didn't learn something at church today. Amen? In October 1517, Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 theses to the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg, Germany. These 95 theses, stay with me now, were a list of 95 errors of the doctrine and practice of the church. Luther had challenged the church and was charged with heresy, a charge whose penalty was death by fire. But despite the incredible risk of death, others quickly joined Martin Luther's protest. And these protesters gave rise to the term Protestant. Are you with me? The term Protestants was brought about to describe those who were joining Luther in protesting the teaching of the church and the practice of the church because they realized that the church had walked away from the truth of Scripture. Today we begin a three-part series on the Protestant Reformation. And I encourage you because I believe that most of us know very little about the Protestant Reformation, what caused it, and its impact on the church and its impact on our life. And it's time to know, amen? It's time to find out. So I hope that you will commit to being here every week for the next 3 weeks to find out what is this all about, this Protestant Reformation. I hope you will come and that you will bring some friends. Now, my purpose is not to cast stones at our Catholic friends or at the things they have held sacred from childhood. I want to be very clear. I have no desire to cast any stones at the Catholic Church. I have incredible number of Catholic friends, some wonderful friends who are Catholic. My desire is not to cast any stones. Instead, my desire is to clarify the truths of Scripture recovered during the Reformation, the simple gospel, the truth of Scripture, the truth of an eternal salvation that comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's my desire, to proclaim these 3 weeks the truth, the simple truth of Scripture, that it is possible to have assurance of a salvation in Jesus Christ by the grace of God alone, by through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. There are 5 Latin phrases that were popularized during the Reformation. They are called the 5 solas of the Reformation. The word sola, S-O-L-A, means only or alone. These 5 solas, or 5 onlys, not only provide 5 key pillars of the Christian faith, but these 5 solas also emphasize 5 key distinctions between Catholics and Protestants. Now, I know that many individuals wonder, what is the difference between the Catholic teaching and the Christian teaching? Well, in the next 3 weeks, you're going to find out quite a few, because these 5 solas, I've entitled the series Key Pillars of the Christian Faith, because these 5 solas will help us to understand very clearly some of the 5 most fundamental teachings that we believe. But it would also point out 5 key distinctions between Catholics and Protestants. Today I'll share the first of these 5 pillars with you, pillar 1. And so, hey, we're only going to have time to do 1 today. Pillar 1, sola scriptura.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Scripture only. Bible-based Christians accept the authority of Scripture alone. Did you hear what I said? Bible-based Christians accept the authority of Scripture only. No other book or writing can compare with God's holy word. Amen. Despite the importance of the scriptures, you may be surprised to know that the church opposed any effort to make the scriptures available to the people. In 1382, John Wycliffe translated the Bible into the common language of the people, and after his death, a law was passed making it illegal to translate the Bible into English. Can you imagine? It was illegal to translate the Bible into English. The church did not want us to know what was in the Bible. William Tyndale refused to obey this law. And in 1536, he translated the Bible into English. He was choked to death while tied to the stake, after which his dead body was burned. Thank God for men like Wycliffe and Tyndale, and for the estimated 50 million Christians who gave their lives in the Middle Ages, so that today I can hold in our hands a copy of the Word of God. But I need to ask you, do you love this book? Some of you grew up in Christian homes, and I don't think you have any idea of what it cost people to put this book in your hand. This book, which is the revelation of God. Can you imagine? God cared enough about you and me that the Almighty, transcendent God, and we're going to talk about that in one of the messages, the transcendence of God. The transcendent God, he cared enough about you that he revealed himself himself, you would know little or nothing about God if he did not take the initiative to reveal himself to you. He revealed himself to you and me in this Bible. This is a special book. And I want to encourage you, young person, it's time to fall in love with this book. Someone said that if all Christians were to dust their Bible at the same time, we would have the greatest dust storm in history. You see, God didn't just send us here to tell you some facts. God is sending us here to warn us and to challenge us that it's time for us to pick this book up, the revelation of God. Let me share four reasons before I sit down why sola scriptura, scripture only, is so important. Number one, only the Bible is inspired by God. Did you hear what I said? Only the Bible is inspired by God. The Catholic Church believes popes are infallible, without error. I don't know if you knew that. And since the popes are infallible, without error, they believe that whatever the pope teaches, his teaching and his tradition are therefore as authoritative as the scripture themselves. So you can understand why very gradually the church didn't really care much. There was no need to spend much time in the Bible because we have the popes giving us their declarations, and therefore the church gradually became more about the declarations of the popes than what God has declared. But no matter what the church said, no matter whether they believe popes are infallible or not, I am here to tell you that only the Bible is inspired by God. And by the way, there is no such thing as an infallible person. I hope you realize that. You see, every person born of a woman with a father, earthly father, I better clarify, anyone born with an earthly father is born a sinner. And even after God cleans us up, we're still not infallible. So that's why we need to be patient with each other, amen? Because God is not finished with us yet, amen? God ain't done with you yet. God is not done with the popes yet either. That they haven't got infallibility yet, because we won't get to perfection. One day we will get there, amen? Because one day, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you will leave earth and you will be transported to heaven. And when we get there, when we see Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And my Bible says, any man that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. But only the Bible is inspired by God. There are two very significant things God revealed about the inspiration of the Bible. Number one, the scriptures were breathed out by God. Here's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I hope you have that open. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There are some greatly inspired writings. Some people, they got to get high before they can do anything. And they say they're inspired. But in this verse, inspiration means something totally different than when somebody said they were inspired to write a book or inspired to produce some music. This is totally different. The word, the Greek word translated as inspiration in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 is translated in many other versions such as the ESV. It is translated God breathed. are breathed out by God. When the Bible says that the Bible is written by inspiration, it is actually saying it is breathed out by God. God miraculously, stay with me. God miraculously breathed his character into Scripture. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people say, men wrote it. God is telling you, this God who can do anything. You say, I don't believe that. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But thank God, the God we serve is a God who can do the And this God who can do the impossible, he is telling you that he miraculously breathed his character into Scripture. The origin and distinctiveness of the Bible comes from God who breathed it out. Oh, you said break that down. That's going to take me some time. I'm going to break that down today. We'll break that down another time. But suffice it to say, grab a hold of this, that the Bible is different from every other book because only the Bible is breathed out by God. But secondly, the second thing that the Bible tells us about inspiration, it says this to us, that the Scriptures were written by individuals carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's not only breathed out by God. So God breathed it out, and he uses men who he literally carries along to put down what he wants put down. Oh, you're not with me this morning. Are you with me this morning? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. In the ESV, here's how it reads. Knowing this first, it's on the screen. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures were not written by men who use their own ideas and words. I hear people criticizing, the Bible is written by men. No, the Bible may be written by men. Men were simple, the fountain pens that God used to put pen to ink on the paper, or the quill to the parchment. They were simple, the tools. But just as a ship is carried along by the wind, so these men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Are you getting it? This is a different book. This book is distinct. Make no mistake, the Scriptures and only the Scriptures are inspired by God. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.